Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You're listening to The Morning Show, and on the line I have Therese Davey for this week's Home and Lifestyle Tips. Well, for once, Therese, I can say I actually did your job of the week, which was cleaning the mattress and turning it if needs be. Well, I thought I was great hoovering the dust and throwing the bicarb all over it and everything, and I thought I actually kind of wanted to ring you for a little pat on the back. But then I thought, we're moved into that house since January, and I'd probably get a slap in the wrist for telling this. That's the first time I've done it since we've moved in. Whoops.
No, you've been busy, and you've started, and that's always the good thing. You've started, and you now know it's 3 months, and the next one is December or January, and we're off, and you've started the cycle. You're grand. Well done.
Very good. You're not too hard on us, Therese. Okay, so what is your website of the week this week?
IrishHearts.ie, because I was really impressed with the daughter saving her father at the CPR last week. And it's something that's important. You and I speak about this every September when it comes to night classes, that one of the things people could do is first aid. It's such a useful thing to do. And my dad sent us off to the wonderful Order of Malta to learn first aid. And I actually came on my first car crash on my own, age 15. And it's a hugely important thing to learn. But as a start, and as a basic, and for this winter, please go and watch the video, maybe, of CPR. Start with CPR. And they've got this thing called Manny Quinn, and you watch a video for a few seconds, a few minutes, on how to do CPR, and you can do it, and anyone can do it. Just go look at the video, irishheart.ie.
It's so important, and I can't actually understand. My dad had very serious heart surgery last year, and I couldn't understand how they weren't teaching people, you know, spouses and that, how to do CPR, should it be needed. And another one I would say, Therese, that's important. This is, as a parent, this is one of my kind of obsessions, is I regularly watch similar video that the St. John's Ambulance do, but in relation to choking, you know, if a child is choking or a baby is choking, the different ways to handle it. And I've tried to watch it every so often, because it's one of those things that we just need to know so well.
And it's a simple one to do as well. And you don't have to be a medic or do a full first aid course to do those two basic things. But once you learn how to do them, you will know for life, and you'll never know when you can save a life.
Exactly so. IrishHeart.ie for that web, for that video on how to do CPR. And also you can check out on YouTube St. John's Ambulance. They've lots of great videos, but I would especially recommend the one on choking, two things that that might save somebody's life. But the CPR, and there's great ways to help you to remember, you know, how many pushes on the chest you have to do and all that sort of stuff. Okay, so what else now in terms of what you've been looking out for and what you're telling us to do this week? You're giving us tips on working from home. Or from the shed.
Well, no, it's a home office. I've converted it to a home office, and let's call it what it really is. And I'm packing the box here at work to go back to working in the home office, because I think it's going to happen. But there's a couple of things you can remember. You need to create a workspace, properly dedicated workspace, to keep your things together and to be away from perhaps the distraction of the TV, and because you might tend to become a bit of a news junkie or something if it's handy. So create a designated space and a box maybe to take the things off and put away when you're finished, your work things, including your laptop. The other thing, stick to your usual morning routine. Get up at the same time. Go for a quick walk, as we said 2 weeks ago, to compensate the time alone during your commute that you're missing out on. Get dressed for work, and it puts you in the frame of mind. Stay connected with your colleagues. That's important, Wendy, just to keep talking to people. Do you know, there are other people out there alone, as you know.
And everybody, that's the thing, is working in different work from home situations. You know, for example, you know, one colleague might have a space where they have a home office. Another might be working from their kitchen table, and it's really difficult when, you know, kids are around and they just want mum or dad's attention. Or someone who's just at home alone all the time, which must be so, so difficult. And you are their company when you're having the chat and the catch up.
Absolutely, and a purpose and a connection and a distraction, and they're a distraction from you if you take the phone and go and sit on the stairs and get away from the space. Take regular breaks. Walk up the stairs or down the stairs or leave the house for a 5-minute walk, but you need to get up and walk and take regular breaks to get away from sitting and that fixed space and being in the one building.
And I would say as well, get fresh air, because you can easily fall into just being locked into your office and putting the head down, and whereas you might have gone out for lunch or coffee or something, is build into your routine, getting out for a walk. I would say actually even 10 or 15 minutes before you start to clear the head, and at lunchtime as well, getting some fresh air if you can.
Yeah, and have the coffee, open the back door and have your coffee outside if needs be at 11. Stick to normal working hours, and this can be very difficult. It's difficult to disconnect, and I found that when I worked from home for the first time. I'd never had a laptop at home, and I'd go and check another few emails, and I wouldn't shut it down, and it was just too easy to bring into the living room. And so you really need to shut it down, put it away, and say no, and disconnect, absolutely disconnect. And the other thing I was doing, I found it, when you have home commute, I was using that work time, that home commute time as work time, and saying, sure, I'm normally not home till 6, and so I won't go in till 6. So you really need to stick to normal working hours, hugely important.
And I would also say to add on to that as well is, on your phones, turn off push notifications, as in work email notifications, all that sort of stuff, because they'll pop up and after hours, as you say, Therese, and you're just tempted to then look at them. It's the only way to switch off.
Absolutely. Avoid checking your phones and your social media contacts is one of the things that was on the list that I got, and that was important. And maybe if you do need a distraction, look at some training modules. Go and look at the things that you always had, never had time to look for. That little bit on the accounts package or the little bit on the Zoom. Just take 5 minutes to distract yourself if you need the distraction. But the other thing about it, which I noticed about the lunch breaks, you need to have all the food bought in, Wendy. You need to have the fruit there so you're not ending up eating biscuits and coffee all day because you forgot to go out and get lunch. If it's not there, you won't eat them. But if the fruit and things are there, you will eat them. So you need to think about what you're shopping as well, so your lunch is there and available in the home.
Yeah, so then it's all done and dusted. It's all about organisation, isn't it?
All about being prepared for the week and thinking out the week, particularly when you're shopping, and particularly now when we might be reducing our time going shopping because we want to reduce our contacts and trips outside the home. So it just needs a little, as you say, a little more organisation, a little more planning. And maybe one of the things you might be buying this week, because they're out there and available and there's loads of lovely recipes all over the place, is pumpkins. But there's one thing you need to do, and this is your job of the week.
Okay, what is it?
Sharpen your knives. I say this every year. This is the broken record segment. I say this every year. You need to sharpen your knives. The skin on pumpkins are really, really tough, and a blunt knife is far more dangerous than a sharp one. So that's your job of the week. Sharpen your knife.
What's the best way to sharpen it then?
You can buy, there's a couple of things you can do. You can buy knife sharpeners, electrical ones and little metal ones, and or you can go into TK Maxx and get one you rub on your knives. Or you can, or there's a chisel sharpener sometimes in hardware shops. There's professional kind of tools that people use for things like chisels and implements in the workplace. And they're very good, but you need to know how to use them and you need to read the instructions on that one. But I say to start, get a knife sharpener, a little one you run up and down, and you'll get that in a hardware shop or TK Maxx. You run your knife up and down it, and that's the safest way to do it for people at home.
Very good. Okay, and what's our job of the week with sharpening knives? But you also want to say a thank you of the week.
A little thank. I haven't said a thank you in a long while. But to all the people who are manning the helplines or offering the help and support with counselling services on the phones or remotely or doing it one-to-one, these are difficult days for so many people, and there's loads of people out there helping others. So thank you to them. And as you know, I have the privilege of working with Marriage Prep and Sligo Accord, and during a Zoom week meeting last week, I discovered the availability for counselling because people do not realise that the service is operational. And as you know, I love bride and grooms. I've always loved them from hotels and things. And for all the brides and grooms out there are having difficulty because they've postponed their wedding and they've had to postpone it till next year. But there is help, and Accord, for instance, offers relationship counselling for those getting married as well as those who are married and need help with the relationship. So a big thank you to everyone out there who is offering the support and the help on those lines and with people who need help in these difficult days. Well done, and thank you for your time.
And you know, also to say as well, because there's so many, if you're calling a call centre or a counselling line, especially for call centres, if it's waiting times are longer, but please be nice to the person on the other end of the phone. It's not their fault, it's just the times we're in. And take a deep breath, smile and be nice. Spirit. Our next guest has been announced as the new incoming president designate of the Methodist Church in Ireland. Through his work, he's served and travelled in both Sierra Leone and across Ireland, including Wicklow, Galway, Waterford, Kilkenny and Carlow. On the line to tell him a little bit more about himself and what he's most looking forward to with his new appointment, we have the president designate of the Methodist Church in Ireland, Reverend Dr. Sarah Yambasu, on the line. Good morning, Reverend Yambasu. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Very good morning to you.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about about yourself. I believe you started your ministry first in Sierra Leone.
Yes, that was many, many years ago. I now think at the moment that I'm like rock of ages. I started ministry in the 70s in Sierra Leone, late 70s, and then went to college and I completed my training for ministry in 1982 in Sierra Leone.
So what was life like in ministry in Sierra Leone then?
Exciting, a lot of times, challenging too, and ministry in Sierra Leone in many ways is different from here. But coming out of college, I worked in the city circuit, a very large circuit, I mean, with two very large churches. So even the congregation itself is completely different from anything that I have done since I was anywhere else since I came to Ireland. We have a very large congregation, huge amount of work, especially pastoral work, which is one of the things that I like most in my own work as a minister, visiting people in their homes, in hospitals, at their places of work. Yeah, so it was very exciting. Yeah.
And I know then you continued, as you touched on, your education and training in Ireland and England. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, it was actually during my second appointment in Sierra Leone after I left college and I was stationed in the eastern part of the country. Then one day I had a telephone call from one of the Irish ministers who had served in Sierra Leone for about 38 years. He was actually from Bangor. So he was the head of our church in Sierra Leone at that time. Got a telephone call from him and said, listen, come back to the city because I have good news to share with you. And he told me about the possibility of the Methodist Church in Ireland offering me a scholarship to come and do my post-ordination studies at Churchill College and Queen's University in Belfast.
And then you returned back to Sierra Leone in 1992. At that time, of course, there was a civil war. What led you to that decision to say, okay, I want to go back?
Back to Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
Yes, 1988 I completed at Queen's University, and then by the grace of God I was offered a scholarship to go and do my master's and doctorate in Cambridge in England. So my wife and I and the kids left England in 1992 after I completed my studies, and we went back to Sierra Leone. The war had already started in Sierra Leone. In fact, it started about the year I completed my studies at Cambridge. But anyway, we decided we were going to go. We didn't think very much of it, and my heart was in Sierra Leone. That's where I've always loved to serve. So we decided we'll go to Sierra Leone. My wife and I left, and then we went to Sierra Leone. The war was going on, as I said earlier on, but we continued to serve there for another 2 years and a bit. Of course, the war got worse and came within 20 minutes of Freetown. And it was so dangerous. Sometimes, I mean, we would go into town and the children would be totally shocked and afraid of soldiers up and down in the streets everywhere in the city, leaving the city, going to the war front in the rural areas. So it was a difficult time, a very challenging time for everybody in the country, but sort of we kept our heads down, continued to work until one morning I went to college, and I was the principal of the Theological College in Sierra Leone at that time, went to college and started to go to class to teach, and then I got a call from our London office saying, listen, is that Sarah? I said yes, and who is on the line here? And then I had a voice from somebody that I knew in London and said, whatever you're doing now, drop it, sir. Go back home, tell your wife Clodagh and the children to start parking. You have to leave the country tonight because the last international flight is leaving the country.
Wow, just like that.
Just like that. So I had to go to the administrative secretary of the college and say, listen, this is the message I've got. I have got to go back home. Went home on my way back home, picked up the kids from school, came to my wife Clodagh and said, listen, this is the message I've got. Let's start parking. Started parking that day. They had bought a ticket for us to leave. The ticket was to be collected at the airport. I couldn't leave because, I mean, we had had no arrangements. I've had no board meeting for the college to hand over the college or anything like that. So I decided that Clodagh and the children should return to Ireland. So they came to Ireland. We packed a small bag for me with all of my belongings then, and just in case anything happened, then I would just pick up that bag and leave. Fortunately for us, we had the British embassy in Sierra Leone who was looking after the Irish citizens as well. So they had given us instructions as to where to meet in case of any trouble. So my wife and the kids left. my little bag and myself slept in the bed for another couple of months, and then I eventually decided to leave the country and join them in Longford.
Wow, that must have been really difficult though to leave your family. And but anyway, you've ended up back in Ireland. Tell us a little bit about just your invitation to serve the Methodist Church here in Ireland.
Well, when I came back to Ireland, the difficulty did not cease because we left Sierra Leone. In fact, I was so traumatized because I never ever thought of coming to live in Ireland. So anyway, during those difficult times, I had to look for work because I needed to support my family in Sierra Leone and some of my friends who were also going through very difficult times. So I got a job in the Longford Arms Hotel as a kitchen porter, worked there for a few months, and then I got what I thought was a better job in the Lion's Meat Factory in the Bucky Road in Longford. So I went there and I worked there, and it was twice I was there that I received the call and invitation from the Methodist Church in Ireland to heave up the place in Wicklow, Arklow and Avoca.
So tell us a little bit about your new appointment then, and it's incredible to hear just how willing you were to kind of answer the call to come to Ireland to do other work until you got that call, as you say, to serve the Methodist Church. But tell us about your latest appointment.
This latest appointment is, I mean, it was a huge shock to me. It's something that I never contemplated, never thought about it. And I have always just thought, listen, put your head down, serve wherever God has put you to serve, and do the best that you could by the grace of God. So that's what I did. And then suddenly I had a call initially in April or thereabouts about the fact that I had been nominated with two others to be president designate for the Methodist Church in Ireland. Again, a very big shock. I had to think about it before I accepted it, discuss it with my wife. And then, of course, when the voting came through a few weeks ago, I realized that people had actually elected me president designate. Shocking.
Yeah, so you were shocked about it, but I'm sure excited about the new role. But a difficult time, Reverend Sarah, because of course our churches at the moment can't be open except for private prayer.
Yes, yeah, we have been doing that for quite a long time. And it is very difficult because physical meeting, I think this is probably the time that we have realized the significance of community in terms of face-to-face meeting. So it has been quite challenging for all of us. But there have been some opportunities as well because of online services. We have actually been able to minister to a lot more people than we usually would have done when we met physically. And then we have people listening into our services from in the United States, in America, in Australia, in different parts in Africa, and in Ireland, in England, and South Africa. And these are people that we are not really worshipping with us before, and now they worship with us. So yes, challenges, but there are also interesting opportunities, I think, that we are experiencing at the moment, and we are very thankful to God for those opportunities.
What are you looking forward to most about the role then?
What am I looking forward to? Looking forward to not the administrative part of it, but I'm looking forward to encouraging people to take seriously the faith to which we've called, because I think we have a wonderful, wonderful God, and sometimes it is the most difficult of challenges that God surfaces and actually does the things for us that we are not imagining. And I think we should never, never give up on God.
Wow.
So I'm really looking forward to that, going around and encouraging people to take our faith again seriously and renew our commitment to Christ.
What a lovely way to finish our interview. Thank you so much for joining us on From the Spirit Radio team. Congratulations on your new appointment, and we are going to keep you in our prayers as you take up this new post. Thank you for joining us on the programme today, Reverend Dr. Sarah Yam Bassey, the new President Designate of the Methodist Church in Ireland.
Spirit.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Glory to his face toward you.
You can hear there a little bit of the students and staff of Lekela Secondary School with a beautiful version of the blessing that they posted on YouTube earlier this month, and it is a timely blessing. given that we are bracing ourselves for further restrictions and isolation in the latest phase of our battle with COVID-19. But let's keep it positive and talk about this wonderful project. And with me to do that, I have the assistant principal of the Lacaila Secondary School in Northwest Dublin, Owen Walsh. And also going to chat to us later is one of their students, Kelsey Murphy. Owen, thanks for joining us on the programme today.
Thanks for having us.
I feel like I should probably call you Mr. Walsh for the interview.
That's okay.
Tell us a little bit about your school.
As you said, we're Lacaila Secondary School in the lovely town of Tyrrellstown in Dublin 15, and we opened in 2014, and now we're home to around or over 850 students and 70 nationalities.
And how's it been going, Owen, since you've opened post the first lockdown?
It's been challenging. It's been different, but we've been doing really well. We've been following the guidelines, and you know, everyone's been on board. And it's been a positive experience for the community in a challenging time. It's probably the most positive I can be about it.
And students happy to be back at school?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's great to have the interaction and see the students and have the Lacaila family back together.
And when did you decide, or why did you decide to record this song then?
Over the kind of lockdown there in May, I personally were listening to some of the international recordings of The Blessing, and then the idea came that, you know, perhaps we could do it in the school. And you know, as you said there, it's been such a challenging time, and we wanted to bring a message of hope and blessing to the school community and the wider community. And then we recorded it to premiere on our school feast day. Primarily to add music to the celebration. Usually our choir would be central to those, but you know, at the moment we can't sing in school.
Which is really hard, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And our feast day is the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and that's where the kind of connection came between the song, our school, the feast day, because you know, our frontline workers in a very practical sense are our guardians at the moment, and in particular one of our parents who we dedicated the song to with the blessing of the family, Dr. Saeed Waqar Ali, who sadly died from COVID-19 in July.
And how did the students and the staff respond to the project?
Really, really positively. Yeah, no, we were delighted. We had representatives from all our 6 year groups, as well as our two graduating classes from the previous 2 years, and we had teaching staff and non-teaching staff, and we even had a staff member who retired over the summer join us for the song. So no, we were delighted with the
response. Really did get your family together, as you say, the Lacaila family together. I know that you have one of the students there with you, Owen. Kelsey Murphy, who is a 6 year student in your school, is there. You might pass the phone over to her. Great stuff. So Kelsey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Kelsey Murphy. I'm 17 years old and I'm currently in sixth year.
And have you ever sung in something like this before?
Well, I usually sing every Sunday in my small church in Ballyfermot called Divine Christian Church, but I've never been a part of something so big and meaningful like this before.
And what was it like? How did it all work?
Well, it was difficult at first in the sense that everyone who was involved had to record separately, so obviously that took some time. But it was really inspiring to see everyone come together and sing such a touching song, especially since many members of our school community have lost family or have been affected by the pandemic.
So it was a positive experience and kind of uplifting for you and for your classmates.
Yeah, definitely. Like, seeing the response to the song has been very encouraging, and I'm glad that we could reach people with our message that the snow will melt and our spring day will come.
What has the response been to the song then, Kelsey?
Really positive. Like Mr. Wolf said, it's been very touching to see people's messages back to us, and knowing that we helped somebody in some way has been really rewarding.
Well done you for your role that you played in the song, Kelsey. You might pass the phone now back to Owen. Mr. Wolf,
thank you.
It's great there just to hear the reaction to the song. It's amazing how something that in many ways is quite simple can have such a profound impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. As Kelsey said, we've over 3,000 views there, and behind the review, you know, is a person. The comments and the private messages we've received have just been so encouraging.
What do you hope the song will continue to achieve then, Owen?
Primarily a message of hope and encouragement. And in the midst of the storm, you know, it's such a stressful time. You know, today, more than any day, probably awaiting the announcements from the government. Just that, as the song proclaims, that he's for us. And that, you know, the sun will rise, we're here to help each other, and we'll be there at the end of it all.
What's the best place where people can check the song out then?
The best place is on YouTube, the Lacaila Blessing. It's on, that's the best place.
Well, listen, thank you both to yourself and also to Kelsey for joining us on the programme today, and just hoping that you all stay safe and well, and please God the schools can remain open as well in the coming weeks. Thanks for joining us on Spirit Radio as
well.
Thank
you.
Okay, that was Owen Walsh, the Assistant Principal at Lacaila Secondary School, and Kelsey Murphy, a sixth year student there. They were talking to us, if you just joined us by the way, about their version of The Blessing, and you can check it out, as Owen said, on YouTube, the Lacaila Blessing Secondary School in Ireland 2020, and that's how you'll find it. And I'm going to play out with it. Just do take the time to just maybe close your eyes and listen to the beautiful lyrics that I hope will give you a sense of peace and uplift on this Monday morning.
Pray a blessing, manna rain down from heaven. This isn't second guessing, we know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favor is in your nature, in your essence.
Be upon and the thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
His favor be upon you and the thousand generations.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.